I know we're all guilty of lying in bed, scrolling through this new website we just discovered with the cutest clothes, adding it all to cart, and then remembering your wallet is in the living room and you don't want to get out of bed to go find your credit card number. So then you head to the checkout in hopes that you see that purple shop button. And there it is, the iconic purple Shop Pay button that has all of your payment and shipping information saved, saving you time while you get to stay cozy in bed. Well, that's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it, because Shopify makes everything easier, from checkout to creating your own storefront. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rhode to brands just getting started. It gives you that leg up from day one with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style. You could tackle all of the important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more, including spreading the word on your brand with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And as for that iconic purple Shop Pay button, it's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. Shopify.com/forthegirls.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalario.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalario.com.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we have Amanda Carluccio on the show, and I am so excited because she is one of the funniest people that I have ever seen on social media. She is mostly known on social media for being funny, essentially. She does comedic skits with her parents. But she's also a podcast host of a show called Unapologetically Myself that she now hosts with her boyfriend. And on there, they dig much deeper beneath the surface. It's not all things funny. They discuss all things life. They keep it real, from love and relationships to mental health and everything in between. So of course, I got into all of it with Amanda today. We spoke a lot about her mental health journey and her experience with depression, and also her egg freezing journey and how much peace of mind that has brought her as a woman who's mid-30s and not yet married or having kids. And I know that this audience is going to love to hear all about that. Even I love to hear all about that. It was so insightful. I learned so much, and I think that you girls are really going to enjoy hearing about the egg freezing journey. And then we also got to a Dear Victoria submission today about outgrowing your friendships and moving forward without them. Amanda gave some advice with me on that. So stay tuned all the way to the end to hear that. And if any of you girls want advice on a future episode, email me at victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com. And then please just make sure to make the subject line Dear Victoria, so I know that that is a submission for a potential upcoming episode segment. Anyway, Amanda and I, we're very similar in so many ways, starting with the fact that we are two Italians from the New York, New Jersey area. So, of course, you put us two in a room, you put us on a FaceTime, and we could talk all day long. So this is a good one. It's a very good conversation that I think you girls will really enjoy listening to. If you are watching on Spotify, please be sure to leave 5 stars on the podcast and a comment on the episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to leave 5 stars and a review on the podcast. And if you're watching on YouTube, please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Now let's get into the episode. Okay, everyone, please welcome Amanda to For the Girls. I am so excited for this episode, this interview. Amanda, please introduce yourself to the girls and tell us all about what you do.
Yes, thanks. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I am a full-time content creator. I do lifestyle, family skits, comedic skits with my family. People, if you've ever watched, you probably know my father. He wears his pants up to his neck and he really does. But on top of that, I'm also a co-host for the podcast called Unapologetically Myself. And it comes out every 13th of the month and I co-host it with my boyfriend. So it's been going well. We just did, we just had a therapist on actually, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I just saw that. So it started out being just you, right? The podcast. And then, because I was watching the episodes and it was just you. And then I saw it kind of like transitioned a little bit into being both of you co-hosting together.
Exactly. So I started it and it was just me. And then I was like, why don't you come on? Like I told my boyfriend, I'm like, why don't you come on? It's like, as you know, it's easier to talk to somebody than just yourself.
Yeah.
Even though you do great at that when you're just talking. But he came on and it went really well and we got a lot of views from it. And he's surprisingly like very well spoken. Not surprisingly, he is very well spoken.
The subtle shade.
He'd hear me in the next room.
Surprisingly, like, hey. He could put a sentence together.
Exactly. And it went really well. And I was like, why don't you come on? Why don't you be like a permanent co-host? And he's like, yeah, let's do it. Because at first he was just supporting me and then he actually really liked it and we're thinking about changing the name. We're not sure yet.
I think that's a good idea. Because you started it as just yourself and now like a little rebrand might be
exactly
in action.
Yeah, we rebranded the colors because at first it was pink and very girly. And I was like, well, now I have you in it. We got to change it up.
No, I'm here for it. You know what? I have not, in fact, hard launched my fiance on the podcast. Of course, obviously he's been like,
He's been in videos.
He's only ever been a static image guy. Like I've only ever posted photos on Instagram, but he's never been in a TikTok. He's not an on camera kind of guy.
Got it.
And I would love. I have not yet brought this idea to him, but I would love for my first episode, like post wedding, to be him with me and us like talking through like the wedding together. But
oh, I
he's
love that.
So shy. Like I would so imagine him just like not enjoying it. And like, You know what? The truth of the matter is like, because a lot of people have said, like, I've literally seen people be like, if your man really loves you, if he really supports you, like he would want to be in your content. And I'm like, that's like saying if I really loved him, I would want to go work a day job with him and like demolish buildings.
That.
Like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, he 100%. Doesn't want to be on camera. Like, it's just not his thing, you know?
Exactly. You can have different jobs. Like, it doesn't
Completely.
Need to be intertwined.
Yeah.
Just because your boyfriend's not in videos with me does not mean,
he doesn't like you. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. People have this weird concept of like, because I think, well, like, you're, you know, you kind of have a family channel in a sense. And like, I think because there's a lot of like couples channels and whatever, like, people just think like everyone in your life is a prop. And like, for me, that's just not, that hasn't been my content, you know?
Oh, 100%. And well, a lot of people want to put their two cents in, especially like now that he's been on, they're like, well, what are you waiting for? Where's the ring? And it's like, we actually talked about it on the podcast. He's like, man, I'm feeling like the pressure. Everyone's commenting. Like, he's like, relax. Everyone needs to relax.
And what the truth is like, they're watching their social media as if it's like a TV show. But like, if this was their, like, if they were in your shoes, like they would realize like you're actually moving at a normal pace. Like you're actually doing things very normal. Like you're not just like a character in a show where they want to like fast forward to the ending. It's like, wait, I'm also like just like living my life through like a regular
family,
like everybody else.
This isn't Love Island.
Like, no. And thank God Love Island is over because it has consumed my entire summer. So I'm very
happy. Oh my God. I recently just got into it and I watched the final episode and I was like, I need to see the end. And now I'm obsessed with Amaya and everyone
else.
Oh
my God. Yes. Yeah, no. You know what? It's better off that you didn't start from the beginning because it will take a mental toll on you.
Isn't there like 36 episodes or something crazy?
Yeah, I think the finale was episode 37.
Oh my God. That's a lot.
Yeah, it certainly is a lot. And it's a lot internally as well.
I could imagine if I started from the beginning. I was hooked like on the second to last one. That's when I started. And now I'm like scrolling. I'm following everyone on Instagram. I'm like, why am I so obsessed with this show? Like,
yeah. No, seriously. But rewinding back a second, I just mentioned, you know, like you do content with your family. Let me tell you something. You are the only person whose family content I enjoy and that I find funny.
Thank you.
Like, and I mean that so seriously, like even just not to like toot my own horn, but even the fact that I would follow your account on Instagram can tell you how good your content is, because I am somebody who will literally click the not interested thing when like family or like couples content comes up. Like I find
thank you so much. I appreciate
I find
that.
Everyone so unfunny. And I find everyone very scripted and like very just like corny. And I could just tell it's not genuine. Listen, if your things are scripted, I can't tell because it's so real.
No, thank you so much. It's funny because a lot of the times it's not scripted. Obviously if we do a brand deal or something,
they are.
And sometimes like my dad will come up with ideas. First of all, he loves being in the videos. He wants a show out of this.
Like, you could tell.
He is exactly like George Costanza, Joe Pesci, and Danny DeVito in one. Like that's him in a nutshell. And he's always wanted to be on TV. So he loves doing it. So most of the time it's really not scripted. It's me just be like, okay, be yourself. Yeah. I'm behind the camera. And my mom most of the time will be yelling at him. It's just that like old school Italian family.
100%.
And then I'll edit it. Sometimes I'll say, Mom, can you say this? And I've learned actually my mom is pretty good at acting. Sometimes when we do the videos, I'm like, Mom. And like, I really thought she was being serious. And she's like, oh no, yeah, that was me acting. And I'm like, me and my dad are like, what? She's really good at it.
No, but you guys crack me up.
Oh, thank you. No, I appreciate that. That means a lot. Thank you. But for the most part, it's not, unless it's a brand deal or unless it's something that's trending. And
like a trend. Yeah. And you're like just following the trend, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. And we want to make it funnier than the trend. Like sometimes we'll tweak it a little bit. But for the most part, I would say it's improv.
Yeah. No, to me, that translates. Like, I can read that. I think, like, with, like, the couple stuff when it's, like, you know, they kind of have, like, listen, the thing about your content is that you're all aware you're on camera. You're all looking at the camera. You're all talking to the camera. The thing that always throws me off with the couples and stuff is when they, like, put the camera in the corner and, like, the person walks in acting like they don't know that they're being
heard. And you
like,
know.
And I'm, like, and then I always go to the comments because I'm, like, everyone must see this the way I see this, right? And then the comments are, like, fully like playing into it. And they're like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he said that. And I'm like scrolling. I'm like, does no one see what I see right now? Like,
yes, so confused. You can tell. You can tell when there's a skit.
Yeah. Like, I get so confused. I'm like, how are people like totally feeding into this? But whenever I came across your content, however long ago it was, I'm like, I love these people. And
no,
your dad
thank you so much.
Looks so familiar, as if like, I know that like you're saying he reminds you of these actors, but I'm like, Was he on TV? Because he looks like someone from a show, or was he
not? No, he was. He wishes, but we get that a lot. Like everyone thinks he looks like what's that act or not actor? The guy from Shark Tank.
The guy. Oh my God, Mr. Wonderful. I mean,
Mr. Wonderful. They say he looks like
that. I can see that, but that's not who I'm picturing in my head. I'm picturing him like in something. I don't know. We got to get him on something.
Yeah, he wishes. Listen, there's a producer out there. Call us up.
100%. They're watching. They're always watching.
Yes.
But as someone who makes, you know, content with your parents, with your boyfriend, I'm curious where the line is drawn, if the line is drawn at all. Like, are there boundaries or it's like all bets are off? Like, you know, we just throw everything at the wall.
Yeah, 100%. So for me, I don't have boundaries myself. I'm an open book. I'll tell anyone anything. You know, I've talked about on my podcast about how I suffered from depression. I talked about, you know, my exes who have cheated on me in the past. That's just how I was and always am. Like, I will tell you anything. As far as other people, like if I go over my dad's house, if I go over my parents' house and they don't want to film or they're tired, like I understand it. I have to keep in mind, like, they're not as young as me. They might not want to do content one day, although my dad always wants to. I respect that. My mom, not so much. She'll be like, oh, I'm just tired today. I'm not feeling well. And that's totally fine. I'll come back the next day. We'll get the brand deal done this weekend. No big deal. As far as my family, like sometimes you'll see in the videos, my whole family will get in it. I'll say, hey guys, I'm going to do a TikTok. If you want to be in it, great. If not, no hard feelings, no big deal. As far as my boyfriend. So at first, when we first got together, this was like 2 years ago, I didn't even ask him to be in it. Like I was just, like you said, it's separate. He does finance. I do content creation. He does not need to be in the videos. No big deal. When we moved in together, he actually played a prank on me and that video went viral. He did the like, wake up.
I feel like I saw this, but I feel like I saw you do it to your dad.
I did. And okay. He did it to me and it actually went more viral than the video where I did it to my dad.
Okay. So I saw the one to your dad. I didn't see that.
I have to send you the one. I fell like flat on my face and it was hilarious because it got on camera and it's now has more views than the first one with my dad. And my dad's like salty about it. He's like, can you believe that Stefanos got 45 million views and ours only
holy
got 23?
Shit.
Oh yeah. He's like, he's so mad about it.
Well, no, holy shit that it got 45 million views.
Don't quote me on that. It might be less. It's like, he knows
but
the
a
number.
Lot.
He's
that's
in the other
lot.
Room, but it was a lot, and it was more than the other one.
Oh my god! Yeah. And then I'm sure your man, once he sees his video again, 40 million views, he's like,
"Yeah,
I can do this a little bit."
Yeah, he's kind of hooked a little bit. So yeah. Then he started getting into more videos, and it's like once you and he was, yeah, I consider him shy compared to me because
yeah.
I'm just an open book.
I know,
and I'll do anything. I'll talk to anybody. But at first, he doesn't want to get in all of them. And I don't want him to be in all of them unless he wants to. Like, I would never pressure him to do mm-hmm. or be in a video. But there's been times, like, we recently did another video. And it's funny. We're just having fun. And it's kind of something for us to bond to.
Yeah. It's funny because the very small amount of fame, like, that, you know, I've done some videos where I've utilized my fiance, but we didn't show his face. It's just like his voice off camera. Like
right.
A couple videos I had him like rating my outfit. So it's like the video is just on me, but he's in the background rating my outfit. And then like another one, we did like a taste test of something and it's just showing me eating and he's sitting across from me rating it.
Right.
And those little videos, he's always like, what are the comments saying? And I'm like, yes. Well, not much about you. You won't show your face. He like likes to like dabble and see like, you know, did anyone say anything about me?
I'm yes,
like,
no,
babe,
he
you
loves
gotta show your face.
Like, he loves that. And that it's so funny because it's like the same with my dad. He'd be like, did you see what they said about your mom? He's like, oh, I don't like that. Wasn't nice. Like he gets like really upset with the negative comments. But my aww. Boyfriend too will now be like, what did they say? What are people
see,
saying?
I can't put my parents on camera because I'll be fighting everybody. If someone said something
don't
negative
worry.
About
block. That's what the block's for.
Yeah.
Delete and block.
Oh my God. Like if my dad saw a mean comment about him, like I would have to kill somebody.
No, I know. It's the worst. And my dad, well, luckily they don't say anything mean about my dad. I mean, I'm sure there are. I just haven't seen as many.
Right.
A lot about my mom because in the videos, you know, she is yelling or whatnot. And some people just
right.
don't.
But she's just playing a part. She's
of
leaning
course.
In. Oh
of
my
course.
God.
I annoying. Promise you she's like the sweetest woman in America. But she's hilarious. I mean, she's one of a kind. That's literally how she is. And then some people don't understand that. And the comments that they'll write about her, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah. I got to delete that before she sees it because it's just rude. Like, please.
Aww,
we don't need that. We don't need that energy here.
No, we do not. We do not. So speaking of the podcast and your boyfriend starting to be a part of it with you, I want to hear about like how you really ended up making that executive decision from a standpoint of like, okay, this is your boyfriend and this is kind of your business. And I feel like a lot of people have that, like, there's like the murky, like, gray areas when it comes to like investing with a boyfriend, whether it's like starting a business, starting a podcast, starting these things, or even things like personal stuff, like buying a house with a boyfriend. Like, people just always have their opinions
on when they
make these big moves with a boyfriend. How did you, like, say, like, you know what, I'm in on this, like, let's do it together. Like, where did that really, I guess, like, just a matter of trust, but, like, how did that come to be?
Right. No, I totally get that, because I had a lot of, I want to say, like friends kind of say, oh, that's not good. You should probably be engaged before you do that, before you mix things. And I'm like, well, you know what, like, this, I see a future with him. I'm not going to stop now. I want to, you know, put everything together, see where it goes and go from there. Like, I don't want it. Like, I forget what I was going to, who said this? I think I saw it in a reel, but it was like, if you see a future with someone, like, kind of, you don't need to have two separate things in life, like, kind of bring it together. You grow together.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're just boyfriend and girlfriend, like, you don't want it separate. You want to come together and then you continue to grow from there. If that makes sense.
Of course it does. And I feel it's so funny though, when you're like, I forget who said this. And then you're like, oh, was it real? Cause that's literally me. I'm like, who told me this? I'm always like, wait, someone told me this. And I'm like, oh no, that was in my 10-hour TikTok
scroll. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, that was in my scroll at 3 a.m.
No, I get it. And like, I feel like, you know, for me, like, I've always, like, when it comes to certain things, it's like, okay, at what point do you just, like, kind of, like, accept and say, like, you know what, like, what, I'm going to put off all of these things for the semantics of, like, whether, you know, you're engaged, right, whether you have the ring, whether you're here, whether you're there. Like, this is something that you're passionate about. This is something you want to do together. It's like,
exactly.
Go for it, you know?
Exactly.
And I feel like one of the beauties of, like, creating content online and, like, sharing things online is, like, it's kind of like you're open. Like, it's like your own personal little, like, diary of, like, everyone's going along with you. So, like, now they'll, like, get to be a part of that journey with you. Like, when I started the podcast completely single, did not meet my boyfriend yet. Well, my fiance, geez. But I did not meet him yet. You know, I was constantly talking about, like, my dating stories and being single. And on TikTok, I was always sharing dating stories. Like, literally would come home from a date and talk about it. And, like, I was sharing all of these things and, like, it's kind of like having a digital diary. Like, I get to look back now on, like, the progress and, like, seeing, like, okay, went from being single and talking about being, like, lonely and feeling a certain way to, like, going on these crazy dates and sharing my dating experiences to then, like, being like, okay, I met someone, this is going pretty well, to then, like, sharing that, like, the trajectory of, like, what comes next.
I've been following you for a while and I remember that. Like, and cool. I'm so happy for you. And then you almost feel like, not that I've never met you, I'm never in person, but this is the first time meeting you.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like I know you, but
obviously
I don't. Like,
I know what you mean.
It's cool to see other women, like, thriving and doing what they want in life, you know? Yeah. So it's awesome.
Being vulnerable, doing all of it, you know, just, like, sharing the reality of your life and taking your audience along with you. And I think that it's like, you know, it's cool because, you know, it's like at the end of the day, no matter what happens for anybody, it's like we have all of, like, these, you know, little, like, pockets of our life documented and we can reflect and look back on them and be like, oh my God, like, it's kind of like our modern version of, like, how our parents had, like, the camcorders, like, growing up filming, like, everything. Like, I mean, granted, like, we, you know, take pictures on our phone, but, like, just, like, our own social medias are, like, our own little versions of that, you know?
Yeah, 100%. My dad always says, like, this is so cool. Like, do you know how, like, lucky you are to have these videos? Like, he always says this, because when we go, you can look back at these videos. And I'm like, Dad, stop.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, to have all those, like, memories, like, you're right. It is a diary that you get to keep.
When it comes to podcasting, that's, like, really why I love podcasting, is because I feel like, yes, 90%, the majority of our audiences are watching us through TikTok, Instagram, whatever. But what I love about podcasting is that it feels like our own little, like, private neck of the woods. You really have to be, like, in it, like, the most loyal, like, dedicated follower, subscriber, whatever, to be, like,
100%
paying attention to the podcast. So it's kind of like I say things on the podcast that I would never say, like on TikTok.
Or right, on TikTok, exactly.
It honestly feels like just more private. Maybe because it doesn't, like, you're not looking at how many views or how many comments. Like, it's just like a little bit more private. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like in the podcasting world, we're having those deeper conversations. And like you just mentioned, like, you've shared like your journey with depression and amongst exactly. other things. And you have shared that on the podcast. And mm-hmm. you're having those conversations that, like, you as someone who creates like such funny comedic content, like, I feel like your audience doesn't see you as that kind of person, like someone like
oh,
who deals with these things, because yes, you're talking about on the podcast, but on social media and like front facing, you're just so funny and like happy go lucky and whatever. And so I love that you have those conversations on the podcast. And I just, yeah, I would love for you to share more about your personal journey and like what you've gone through when it comes to mental health and like where you're at now, like yeah, how your journey has been unfolding for you, really.
Yeah, I think, and I have this whole episode on it. I have suffered from depression, and obviously it's an ongoing thing. No one's ever cured from depression. It comes and goes. It's definitely a struggle, but I'm where I am now. I'm extremely happy. I first experienced it with my first breakup in high school. Depression ran in my family. So I was just like, I felt hopeless. I lost a lot of weight. That was like the first indicator. I had no appetite, and it is a struggle. And back then when I think it was like 06, like no one talked about it. It was very like hush hush. I didn't open up to anyone about it. So I felt like I was the only one. And I'm so thankful now that everyone talks about it. It's, you know, less taboo. Like, you can talk about it. I'm talking to you on a podcast about it.
Right.
I love that, because if I had that when I was in high school, I wouldn't have felt so alone like I did. And you shouldn't have to. There's therapy. There's medication that can help. There's so many things that can help. And it's a serious subject. Like, it's not something to laugh at. It's not something that, you know, oh, it's a big thing. It's definitely serious. And I'm so happy people talk about it now. So if I can help one person going through it and give them advice, or, you know, seek help if this is how you feel, then I've done my job. So that's mm-hmm. why I enjoy talking about it on my podcast and yeah. talking about it with anybody who's going through a struggle.
Yeah. And I know you say like back then, like no one was really talking about it. So like what did you do about it? Like, were you like immediately into like seeking professional help, or did you kind of like suppress it for a while?
I did suppress it for a while, but obviously because it runs in my family, like my mom saw the signs and she took me to see somebody. But I think it would have really helped if, you know, some of my friends were going through the same thing. I mean, it's a lot different now. Everyone's on social media. Everyone's talking about it. I know back then no one was on social media. I mean, I just gotten my first phone in high school and it was like a Nokia.
Yeah, like a flip phone. Like,
yeah, T9 on to text. So that's why I'm so happy today, especially for younger kids. Yes, with social media, there comes bullying and all that. But I also think it's good in the fact that people can talk about these, depression or, you know, suicidal thoughts, something like that.
Yeah. You mentioned that your mom saw those signs in you, and you mm-hmm. also spoke in that podcast episode about what your personal signs were. I would love if you could share some of them, because I think that there are people who, whether they dismiss it or they just don't even know that it's a sign, they think it's just normal that they feel this way and they don't even realize that it may be a sign of depression or any other mental health issue. What were those signs for you that had, you know, your mom raise yeah. those flags
no,
and say,
definitely.
let's look into this?
For one, I like self-isolated. I would come home from school. I wouldn't want to do anything. I wouldn't want to go to dance. I wouldn't want to do my regular activities. I also had no appetite. Like, that's a big thing. I know if some people eat a lot when they're depressed, or some people eat not at all. I'm one of those people that don't eat at all. And I know, like, if I'm depressed, I have no appetite. So that's a big indicator, like extreme weight loss or extreme weight gain. That was a big indicator of it. And just hopelessness. Like, I was always crying and I was always sleeping. That's a big one. I would just sleep like every night because like I just didn't want to deal with like the pain. And then I also would have anxiety pain, like in my left chest. like it would be so annoying. I would have to take something for it to go away.
Yeah.
So those are like the indicators.
That actually, you know what? That was the one of the things that you said in the episode, you know, about having that chest pain and feeling like an elephant was hitting your chest.
Oh my God, it was
that
awful.
Is how I have not had an anxiety attack in a while, but when I have had anxiety bad and I've had a couple of little anxiety attacks, that was how I felt, like that pain in my chest. And the very first time it ever happened to me, I was in college and I actually went to, I'm going to say emergency room, not the emergency room. I went to urgent care and I had an EKG.
No,
because the pain was so bad in my chest that I guess I had told my mom, like I mentioned, like,
you know,
I
was like, you're having a heart attack.
Yeah. And they were like, you need to go and see if you're having a heart attack. And so I went and they were like, you're like as clear as a cucumber. Like you're not clear as a cucumber. Cool.
No,
I clear. Yeah. I love a clear.
No, I know what you mean.
Cool as a cucumber. but they're like, no, you're completely clear. Like that's actually a sign of having an anxiety attack. And like, I had just moved into school for my last year, like my senior year. So it must've just been like a lot. And that was the first time that I ever experienced it. I have had that happen a few times after, but then like, I at least knew where it was coming from.
Right.
And like, it's so crazy that like you physically feel it. It's not just 100%. Like, oh, I'm emotionally sad. It's like, no, I'm in physical pain. Actually, like that pain in my chest is unreal.
Yeah, you think you can't breathe. I've had panic attacks before too. It's like you really think you're having a heart attack, or what I would think a heart attack would feel like.
Yeah. To the point where, and what, I was in college, I was like 20, 21. Like, and I'm like, am I having like an early state, like early onset heart attack? Like, it's so scary.
It is scary. It definitely is scary. But I'm happy now that people talk more about it so you don't feel alone. Like I love that. Honestly, it's great. Yeah.
I feel like the more that we speak about these things and share these things, and you know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't think that I've ever shared that on the podcast. I know like I've openly talked about it with people, but I just don't think that I've ever shared it on social media. I think that
you shared it with me. Thank you.
Yeah. I think that the more that people hear people that they watch on social media, like living a great life or being funny, like all of these things. And like the more that they hear people like you and me talk about it, it's like, oh, wait. Amanda went through that too. Victoria went through that too. Like, you know, not to sound it's perfectly fine. If they did it, then that's cool. It's like, no, it's just like, it makes people realize like, oh, like these people are only sharing online, like, you know, the funny things and what they want to share, but they're also real people who behind the scenes, like go through shit like this too.
Exactly. It's like, we're still human. Yes. I make people laugh, but that's also why I do it too.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten many DMs where people have messaged me and they're like, you don't understand. I couldn't even get out of bed this week. And your videos are the only thing that have like kept me going. And like, I'll like, sometimes I have chills now. Sometimes I'll see the videos and or the DMs and I'll send it to my dad. And I'm like, wow, like I need to keep doing this because as someone who suffers from depression, I understand that. I know what it's like not to want to get out of bed, you know, to feel hopeless. Like, so if I can help somebody just by doing the videos that I do, I'm going to continue to do it.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I think it's a very important message for, you know, all of the girls to hear. And I think there's a lot of important messages that you shared on, you know, on your show that I had listened to. And one of which was on your episode about being 35, unmarried and childless, which is funny because I actually I think about 2 years ago, I also have a podcast episode that's called like, the fear of being undateable when you're unmarried by your late 20s.
Yeah.
And this was before I just got into my relationship with my fiance, and this was before I like shared that I was even in a relationship at all. So I was really talking from like a single standpoint at, you know, 27, 28 years old. And like at an age where like, I thought, and you said this in your podcast where I'm like, I thought I was going to have kids by now. Like I thought I was like, for sure I'll be married by 27 years old. Are you kidding? Like, especially, I'm sure your parents were married young. Like my parents were married. Like my whole family was married young. So like when you
23, my parents got married.
Yeah, like when you grow up surrounded by that, and you're like, "What's wrong with me?" Like, exactly. So I, you know, moral of story. I shared a similar message on my podcast, and I loved, you know, listening to yours. And the reality is that so many women feel alone in that, like in being unmarried and childless by, you know, in their 30s, but Yet at the same time, I would say most women are. Like, I feel like most people are actually not in relationships and married with kids. You know what I mean?
It's true.
It's like I feel alone, but yet it's actually so common.
So common. There's a lot of people my age that are still single and looking.
Yeah. I would love for you to share, whether it's just like your mindset or your advice on, like, I know that you're in a relationship, but, like, you know, still the message stands true. So what kind of advice do you have for women who are in those shoes that, like, find themselves getting older, hitting their 30s, and just like, they're like, I'm getting older, but I don't think I'm getting closer to having, you know, the marriage.
Totally. I totally understand that, because I literally, when I tell you, I used to think about having kids literally every day, and it would consume me in my 20s, because, like you said, I thought by 23, I'd be married. I'd have my first kid at 25. Like, we have this timeline, and I think most women, I don't think all, but most women think like this, like they have this timeline, and it's just, there's no rush. Everyone has their own timeline. Like, stop comparing yourself to others. Like, the biggest advice I could give to someone is just, at the end of the day, you just want to be happy.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to realize that, like, kids weren't going to make me happy. Marriage wasn't going to make me happy. I had to be happy within myself in order to feel confident and in order to just live life. Cause I was constantly, like, being consumed with, oh my God, I'm getting older. I'm getting older. And it would just drive yourself nuts.
Yeah.
So, but if you do feel like that, and what I would say to the girls, and if you can afford it, and if you want to do it, it is pricey. Freezing your eggs definitely helped, like, with peace of mind for me. And I did it at 33. I'm 36 now. But yeah, of course, I still, like, I'm like, all right, I'm 36. But when I talked to the doctor when I went to freeze my eggs, she was like, don't worry, you're healthy. Like, they look at your eggs, they look at your egg reserve, they do all that. And it gave me more of peace of mind. And I'm really happy I did it. Because after that, I was like, oh, I felt like there was such a weight that was lifted off of me. And I didn't feel the pressure of, like, oh my God, I need to have kids now.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy I did that.
I know. And you know what? It's so crazy that women have to go through that. Robert De Niro is like 90,000 years old and has like a
70 years old.
Yeah, like what? No, I think he's older than that. I feel like he's in his 80s.
Oh my God. Wait, I recently met
I'm going to look this up. Did you?
Premiere. Which is hysterical.
Wait,
like, right after he had the baby.
De Niro is 81 years old.
Wow. Okay.
He's 81 years old and I'm pretty sure has a damn near newborn. But no, not women. Like, of course, like, we have to spend the tens of thousands of dollars and put ourselves on a million hormones. And, you know, that's just another day in the life.
Exactly. And it's expensive. And it's like, but if you are feeling this way, the good news is you can
finance it. It's an option.
Exactly. It is an option. You can finance it. Sometimes even jobs will cover it for you.
Oh.
Like, sometimes your benefits, your employee benefits will cover it. So it's always an option. You can always ask.
Yeah.
But
and even aside from that, which we're going to get into the egg freezing journey right now. I want to ask about that in more detail.
Yeah.
But even aside from that, I want to go back one second, because you said something that was just like, marriage wasn't going to make me happy. Kids wasn't going to make me happy. Like, no matter what, I had to just be happy on my own. This is something someone shared this, like, advice with me, a coach that I worked with a few years ago. And, like, since then, it's like, you know, when someone just says one of those things that just, like, stick with you forever.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, you have to live your life happy and content as if, like, what if the truth is you never meet, you know, your person? Like, what if the truth is you never get married and you never have kids? And she was like, you're coming to me. And at that age, I think I was like 25, 26. And she's like, you're coming to me at 25, 26, you know, talking these things through, feeling lonely, feeling like whatever the case is, like, I wish that I was married by now. And at that time, no prospects, didn't even meet my fiance by then. Like, wasn't even living home. I was actually living in Florida. Like, my life was completely different.
Nice. And, I didn't know you lived in Florida.
And what'd you say?
I said, I didn't know you lived in Florida.
Yeah, pre TikTok. But
okay.
Yeah. And I, and you know, and she's like, you're coming to me about all this at like 26 years old. What if you don't meet anybody? Like, what if you live another 70 years alone? Mm-hmm. Are you going to live the whole rest of your life miserable and hoping and wishing and seeking and this and that? Like, you have to live your life as if this is it. This exactly. is as good as it's going to get. You and you alone. And that's that. You have to live your life content and okay with knowing that, like, if it's only me, I'm still good. And yep. that was a very hard pill to swallow. And it had made me really emotional at the time. And like, at first I was very like I really like rejected that. I was very like pushback of like, I will not accept that. Like right. I cannot live my life like never being a wife and never being a mom. Like I ever wanted in life was to be a mom. But then when I really like got over myself and sat with it, I'm like, but what if that was the case? Like, what am mm-hmm. I going to do? Just like die miserable and like never be happy in my life? Like, I right. still have friends. I still have family. I still have a business. I still have a life. Like, I still have things that I could look forward to.
Yeah, you still
to.
Have fun.
Like, yeah. You still- and so that really like flipped a switch for me in my brain. And I like just, I mean, I made happiness a mission. Like, I made it a goal. I made peace a goal. And like, after that is like around the time when I moved back home, I wanted to be closer to family. Like, I just felt like, you know what? Like, I'm chasing all this stuff when really all I need to chase is just like my own peace and happiness. And like, I swear
100% I
after,
agree with that.
After like getting into that mojo and feeling good and like moving back home and being by family and just feeling whole by myself, that was then when I met, you know, him.
Yeah. And it's funny because they always say, oh, you meet them when you least expect it. And I always hated that.
Listen, I still hate that because I was always expecting it. I was always I was like, the next man who meets me is going to want to wipe me up right away.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm going out tonight and I'm meeting my husband. That's always how I was.
Listen, except I get what you're night. Saying. But trust me, I still hate that. I hate that.
No,
and
I do.
I'll never say that to anybody. I will never tell
anyone. And I won't. Even, I will never say that because I always hated that. And I actually have a podcast episode where I'm like, what
I think
not
you
to say
said, yeah, I think you said it in that episode about like being unmarried. I think
exactly.
You said, yeah.
Oh yes. I was like, do not say this.
Yeah.
It's rude.
You gave a literal list. It was like the Declaration of Independence. It's like, mm-hmm. don't say this. Don't say that. It's like the new constitution. And it's exactly. so true because there's just like, people are so, you know what? It's always also the people who've been married for 25 years. Oh. And I'm like, you know what? Don't need your advice because you haven't been in this
dating
game.
They don't understand. They haven't been on one single dating app. No. I don't want to hear it.
They haven't been on social media. No, they don't. Yeah. They don't know. So it's like, no. But I understand, obviously, the underlying message of like, it really happens. Like, yes, there was that time where I was putting so much pressure on myself and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then I finally like, you know, was happy and then it happened. So like, I get the overall message.
Yeah, we get it, but we don't like it.
Yeah. It's like, fine, you've made your point.
Exactly.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny. And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalerio.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now.
But going into the egg freezing journey, you said something in the episode of where you share the story about like the doctor said something about there never being like a perfect age. Right. And it like really brought like you a sense of peace. And like you said before, it brought you a sense of relief. And like you said before, the peace of mind. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to explain what that means, because I think that the understanding is that there's a perfect age and like you can be too late, but you said you were 33. So like, what is the whole age thing for, to your understanding?
Yeah. Well, when I went, and again, I'm not a doctor, but the doctor told me, obviously, like it is better to have younger eggs, but there's no perfect time like or age to freeze them, if that makes sense. Like, yes, your eggs are younger at 25, but everyone's different. And I didn't know this. Like every time you have a cycle, you can have more eggs in one cycle than the next, which is interesting. So every time like someone does the first half of IVF or they do the egg freezing, like if I go in, you have to wait for your cycle and then they'll look at your egg reserve and you can, one time you can have 20 eggs and then the next cycle you can have like five. So okay. It's very difficult. It's very, everyone's different. They said there's no perfect age. Obviously the younger you are, the better, but also not really, because it depends on the person.
Yeah.
Someone who's 25 could have low egg reserve than someone who's 36. So when I talked to her, she said, I have people coming in who are 40 freezing their eggs. And that made me feel a little better.
Yeah.
You know, I did it when I was 33. So I have my 33 eggs still frozen. I have 11, which is a good number.
Oh, wow.
So it's a whole process and I can tell you a little bit about it, but, basically from start to finish, I want to say it was about probably like a month. When you go in for the consultation, then you have to go in, you have to wait for your period. Once you get your period, you call the nurse coordinator. She has you come in the next day. They look, make sure everything's good. Make sure, they call them egg follicles. So they make sure they're growing. And at that time I had about 20, 24, which is a good number, because when they take them, they usually only take about half. And I didn't know this, there's actually a procedure. So after you inject yourself, I injected myself for like 12 days with two injections. And then the last day, which was day 12, I had to take the, what is it called? The trigger shot, which makes your eggs drop. And then you go in for procedure. They put you under anesthesia. It's only a 15-minute procedure. Take your eggs out. They tell you how many you have. So they were able to take out, I want to say 19 of mine. And then the next day you can go back to work. It's really easy procedure. Like there's a little cramping, not too bad. Then the next day they tell you how many matured and you can only freeze the matured eggs. So they were able to retrieve 19, but they only took 11 out. Only 11.
That's a good, big ratio.
It is a really good number and I'm happy with it, because I know a lot of people, unfortunately, sometimes they go in, they have only gotten four matured. Some people get way more. Some people get 25 that matured. You know, that's why it's all different. And that's why they say there's no like specific age to do it, because every time your cycle's different, every time it depends on your age, it depends on your egg reserve. There's all these factors that go into it. But I got 11 because the 11 matured. And then I kind of forget about it until I get a bill for the egg freezing. Because you get a bill every month. I'm like, here we are.
Oh my God.
Because you have to pay to keep them frozen.
Oh shit.
Yes.
You pay every month for the rest
of... No, not monthly. They send me one for the year. And it's,
I'm like, oh my God, you're paying rent for eggs?
No. That would suck. So, but I will say I did care credit. So I do pay monthly. It's not paid off yet. Hopefully it will be soon. For the whole thing. Just to be transparent, it was $12,000. So I'm still paying that monthly, but it's $1,200 a year to keep them frozen.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So now, how does that work timeline wise? Like, how long will I get it? Like, you're paying for them, but is it like they'll keep them frozen for as long as you're paying them, or there's like a deadline on when you have to use it? Like,
yeah. I mean, I know, because I've asked this too.
Like, it's like, do I just pay this forever if I choose?
And sometimes I get nervous. I'm like, what if someone, like, I don't know, goes in and hijacks the place and takes all the eggs?
That's like such a nightmare. Oh my God.
Well, like, I always think about this. But, well, rarely I think about it, because it's so crazy how much peace of mind it gave me. Because now I'm like, and I would never think about this before, like, as I literally thought about it every day. Like, now that I did it, I'm like, I'm happy. I'm like, great. If I can have kids, great. If I don't, great. And I would never be like that, because I feel like my sole purpose is to be a mother.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm finally happy where I am. And it's just such a difference. That, and it's such a like peace of mind that that gave me to freeze my
Well,
eggs.
It gave you the feeling of like control over the situation.
Exactly.
You probably felt like you had no control over it. And like prior to having the ability to do egg freezing, women probably did feel like they had no control over it. And I think that's why women married the wrong men, because they're like, I want to be married and I want to have kids and my biological clock is ticking. So let me just, you know, take whatever suitor I have available. And I think that's why a lot of women ended up in toxic, unhealthy relationships. Mm-hmm. Hence why a lot of couples end up divorced. I will say, I feel like the divorce rate is probably reflective of the past and of the fact that like people were more likely to get married because there were less options of like financial stuff and the kids and whatever, like, you know, all that. Like, I just think in the past, women didn't really have that many options. And I feel like now we do. And so I think having that control over yourself, I think is probably the best thing that just gives you that feeling.
Like, and it's crazy how much like I don't think about it as much.
Yeah.
And it's also like a backup plan. Hopefully I never have to use them, but it's nice.
Oh, okay. So it's like, as of right now, it might not even be your intention to use them, right? Like, you might not have to.
100%. Yeah. Like, hopefully when I do try, I can get pregnant naturally. If not, I have those frozen.
Okay. I didn't even think of it like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And sorry, going back to your question, because I didn't answer it. When I asked the doctor, so I just keep paying yearly and then I want to use them, that's basically how it is. So I keep paying yearly to keep them frozen. It's like $1,200 a year. And I forget about it until they send me the bill. And then I guess I'm thinking this is it, because I remember reading about it. But again, I did this when I was 33 and I don't exactly remember. And I'm 36 now. But they said that if you want to eventually get rid of them, you can discard them or give them to science. Like, say I know. It's crazy, right? And then someone told me, well, can't you give them to someone? And
it didn't say that. Them.
Yeah, it didn't say that on the form when I was filling it out. So that I don't know about.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to give them to anyone.
You know what? Let's not even worry about that right now.
Okay? Exactly.
we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Okay,
exactly.
But that's good to know, because I didn't even think of it like that, where it's like you freeze the eggs, but like, you also hope that you can still get pregnant naturally. It's not only
100%.
Okay.
And that's the thing. It was kind of like a backup plan, because who knows when I'm going to start trying and say I start trying. And, you know, you hear all these stories and about people. It's hard. Like, you know, people have been trying for years and whatnot. And it was just kind of like, then I heard all these stories and I got even more nervous and I just psyched myself out. And it gave me such peace of mind and lifted this weight that I didn't even realize I had.
Yeah.
And I felt like I could finally breathe after it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so crazy to think, because if you would have said to me, you know, do it and you won't think about it anymore, I'm like, you're crazy. Cause that's all I thought about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, now I like don't even, I'm like, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm happy.
Yeah. Aside from that feeling of like the peace of mind, I'm sure that there was still just like more emotions and feelings physically and emotionally from doing it. Like how taxing was doing the egg freezing like on you? Like, I know it was a whole process. So like, I don't know what your body goes through. You're on a lot of hormones. I don't know how you feel throughout doing all of it. Aside from just here's the happy ending. Like, how was it throughout?
Yeah. Well, physically it's a lot. And I give credit to, you know, the women going through IVF that have to do this multiple times, because it is not for the faint of heart. Like you feel bloated all the time. They're injecting you with like the pregnancy hormone. So your body's almost mimicking being pregnant.
Right.
Which for the most part, for some of it, I felt happy, but then I'd be sad one day and then I'd be angry another day. And then I'd be mad because I'm like, why am I doing this? I wish I found someone, blah, blah, blah. And it was just when I had met Steve. So he knew I was going through with it. And he was supportive of it, but it was the whole, like, I wish I didn't have to do this. And then mentally it was draining because you would have to wake up every day to get blood work before work. And then I would go to my 9 to 5 and it just like, you felt almost isolated and alone doing it. If you're doing the egg freezing, I can't speak for anyone else, but that's how I felt. Like I was very like, oh, I'm doing this. This sucks. I looked at my friends. It's hard not to compare because you look at everyone else and you're like, oh, well, they found someone. They're lucky they don't have to do this. So it definitely was mentally like draining too. It took a lot out of me, but at the end of the day, I'm really happy I did it.
Yeah. Was there anything that like you couldn't do? Could you like not work out? Could you not take medication? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They say actually to not work out. Because they wanted the egg follicles to grow inside you and like just doing like strenuous activity, I don't know, could maybe like prevent it from happening. So I didn't work out, and that's a good chunk. That's 12 days you can't work out, technically more than that because it was 12 days of injections. Nothing fit me because I was so bloated because they're actually injecting hormones so that these eggs will enlarge. So it's easy for them to extract it during the procedure. So you feel pregnant, you're acting crazy because you're having all these hormones. Also, my tits were massive. I literally felt like you were pregnant and then but you're not. So it's like,
oh my God, that's probably so like emotionally, like mentally, like fucked up.
It was. But I will have to say, like, at the end of the day, I would do it again if I had to, like because I know people do it for IVF.
Yeah.
It's almost the first part of IVF. I know there might be a little things that are different, but essentially that's the beginning of IVF.
So if you ever had to do IVF, then you already have that part down.
Yes, I have that part. And the second part, and of course they ask for more money, would be to take, and his, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but his sperm, and I don't know, somehow they put it together.
Right. Okay. So like you, not saying that you would need to, but if you ever needed to,
yes,
like, you already have half of it done. Okay. So that's like pretty cool to know too.
Exactly. Yeah. It was very interesting. I will say, like, I learned a lot about my body and I didn't know we produce like a certain amount of eggs every month, but then only one drops and the rest die out. Which is crazy. Like, I didn't know that. I was 33 at the time. And then they actually take the eggs that were supposed to die out during your cycle to keep them, if that makes sense.
Right.
It's it's crazy.
Right. So, you know, you said, okay, so I guess in that, when I keep referring back to that podcast episode, sorry for those who didn't listen, you're going to have to go listen, but like, it's something that I watched. And so like,
yeah,
now, like,
no, thank you.
I'm using it to go back to. And so you said in that episode, like that at that time, or I don't know if it was at the time of when you filmed it, but it was just like a time that you were referring to. You were saying that like being 35, I know you're 36 now, but you were like being, you know, 35 and childless, you know, was like your biggest insecurity. But now you seem like that's not necessarily the case. You know, like I would love for you to just share, I guess, where you're at now with that. Like now, you know, you're 36 and still childless, but yet you feel better. So like, I, you know, would love for you to share for the girls who are in those shoes, like how, you know, you come out on the other side and like you could still feel good.
Yeah, no, 100%. Because if you had told me when I was that age, like 33, I felt like that was a really big insecurity of me. Like I was like everyone else around me. It seems so much further ahead than I am. But at the end of the day, I just realized that being happy is more important than anything.
Yeah.
And I can finally say I am happy with myself. I'm happy where I'm at. I'm happy career-wise. And it's just, that's all I want in life now. Like I understand, like at the time I was like, this is going to make me happy. This is going to make me happy. Like I was chasing something that I couldn't control.
Yeah.
So then right after I froze my eggs, I'm not saying this is like end all be all, but it definitely gave me peace to kind of focus on myself and where I was going. And then things kind of just fell into place.
Yeah.
So like my advice would just be like, really just work on yourself. And like at the end of the day, you're right. Like, what if you don't meet the love of your life? What if you don't have kids?
Yeah.
You have to really think about it and be all right with just saying, hey, this is my life and I'm going to make the most out of it.
Yeah.
Most of it.
Yeah. I like that you brought up the career thing, because I do think too, like, part, like, people don't put as much like stock and emphasis onto their career because like it's just like about money. But I think at the end of the day, like, we spend so much of our day working. Mm-hmm. We spend so much of our time on our career that it's like, if you are, say that you are unhappy because you're single, you don't have kids, whatever the case is. And then you also, like, on a daily basis, you're like clocking into a job that you hate. You're like, you're passionate about certain things, but like you're not getting to spend any time doing those things because like you just, all you do is spend your time working on XYZ. Like, I feel like that's a recipe for a miserable life. And it's 100%. Like, you can't live your life like that. Like, I think like, not only did you take the power into your own hands and the control and doing, you know, the egg freezing, but you also have created your career like online with like the content and whatever. And like, I feel like all of these things, like you mix that all together and it's just like, oh, like it just probably feels like such a weight lifted off your shoulder where it's like you get to do what you enjoy doing every day. You feel good about your circumstances, you know, in your life right now. And I do think that like a lot of our life we are in control of. But I think that a lot of people, whether it's just like the way that we were raised, you know, the way our parent, like was anything that someone's parents put in their heads, like whatever the case is, a lot of people think like, this is just life. There's nothing I could do about it. But like, there's so much you can do about your life.
That's not true. Yeah, you can. There's you can so control much. How you react to things.
Yeah.
And like how you, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Like react in the sense of like how you can change your perspective.
Yeah.
How you feel.
How you just approach the world and how you approach life. Like, I just feel like if you constantly live your life thinking like, as if I'm such a victim and this is just the way the cards were dealt for me, like you're never going to be able to get yourself out of that slump, you know?
Exactly. And that's how I felt a lot of the times in my 20s. I just kept thinking this and this and this. And I think the whole reason, I mean, don't get me wrong, it took me a while to get here, but it was my mentality that changed. Yes, the egg freezing gave me peace of mind, but I also was like, hey, you know what? I am 33. If it never happens, I need to be happy and I'm not going to live my life continuing to think like this. I want to enjoy it now.
Yeah.
Like, you want to enjoy the present.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to wrap two things. One, I want to know what message you would have for your younger self, having gone through all of this. And I want you to really like pull the lens back and like think about all of this, like having gone through your mental health journey from such a young age. And like you said, it's never ending. It's something that you're still going to be dealing with, you know, as time goes on. Becoming an online sensation, not only by yourself, but with your parents, which I'm sure you never imagined happening for you and your family, to then starting, you know, businesses with your boyfriend, creating the podcast, freezing your eggs, like just everything, knowing what you know now. What would you tell your younger self?
I would just be like, it's going to be okay. You don't need to rush because it's all going to work out. And at the end of the day, you just want to be happy. And that's 100% true.
Yeah. It's just like, slow down. Just
It's relax. Slow down and like, forget the timelines.
Yeah.
Don't listen to a timeline. Everyone's timeline is different and stop comparing yourself to others.
Yeah. I literally just put out, I don't know if it was this week or last week. I just put out a podcast episode. What was the title? For the girls. Oh no, it was a couple weeks ago. For the girls who are worried about their timeline. It's from June 23rd, 2025.
I want to listen to it.
Yeah. For the girls who are worried about their timeline is the title. And it came out a couple weeks ago. And that's exactly what I'm talking about in it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm reflecting in the episode back to when I was like, you know, 24 years old. And at that time thinking like it was going to be the end of the world. Like if I wasn't married yet, keep in 100%. Mind, I'm 30 now. And I'm thinking back to like who I even liked when I was 24 years old. And I'm like, God forbid. You know, it's like, oh my God.
Because imagine you had a kid with that one.
Yeah. No, seriously. God forbid.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that that goes hand in hand with that. And like I said, we're going to wrap it up, but I would love for you to share some advice with me. I have a Dear Victoria segment that I do at the end of my episodes. And it's been a while since I've shared one. And so I finally just got a new one right in time to interview you. And I feel like you would be the perfect person to assist me on this. So I'm going to read it and then you could take it away.
Yeah.
Dear Victoria, lately I have found myself in a season of growth where I feel like I'm outgrowing certain friendships and the circles I've been a part of. I still care deeply for these people, but I've noticed I no longer enjoy gossip the way I might have in the past. And sometimes I even feel the urge to distance myself altogether. What I struggle with is expressing how I feel without being labeled as boring or too serious and being told that I'm overthinking something that's just harmless fun. To me, being a good friend means protecting others, their privacy, their dignity, and assuming the best in people unless proven otherwise. I want those around me to feel safe, respected, and loved. And lately, I've been feeling this shift in my soul, a deep discomfort around what I now recognize as mean girl energy. I used to brush it off, but I can't anymore. Do you have any advice on this kind of emotional shift or friendship transition? Making new friends in your 30s is so hard, and I'm noticing I'm yearning for healthy sisterhood and friendships.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I mean, I would say, look, as you get older, you don't need people, first of all, who give out mean girl energy. Like, that's just not nice. Also, you don't want to be with someone that doesn't give the energy that you're thriving for. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. If you're not friends with your high school friend, you don't need to be. Like if you're not growing with them and see the same values and there's a disconnect, that's okay. Your circle can get smaller and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I think, you know, as you get older, you mature and you realize, look, these people aren't really my people anymore. And that's okay.
I feel like people hold on to those friendships simply because of the history. And it's just it's like, oh, well, we've been there so much together. We know each other for so long. So like, you know, you stay friends out of the convenience.
But if they're not lifting you up or they don't have the same values as you anymore, then there's really no point. And that's okay. You don't have to be mean about it, but you can distance yourself. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And she had mentioned in her email that she's 34. And so she was saying like, you know, it's hard to make friends, you know, once you're in your 30s. And like, I get that because like, it certainly is, it is hard to make friendships.
Oh yeah.
But I really think that it kind of is similar to what we were even saying about like the unmarried thing. Like you have to take the pressure off of even that too. And just like let the chips fall where they may. Like,
oh yeah.
I feel like when we put this pressure on ourselves to like find happiness and like whatnot in other people, and like she says, like, I'm really seeking that like sisterhood or whatever, like, I get it because like you want to be able to have those people, but like when there were seasons in my life where I felt a little disconnected from friends and like I was really trying to like find friend groups, like I felt myself trying to like force friendships, you know, upon me. And like people, I'd be like, get excited. I'm like, say I met a girl and I'm like, oh my God, we're going to go out. We're going to do this. And then it's like, that doesn't happen. And then I'm like, oh, like, you know what I mean? It's like, you just like get excited. You want to like make a friend and like whatever. It's like, you have to just not put the pressure on yourself to like rely on really anyone for anything, which is like kind of the sad truth. Just put out, this is funny because this one came out literally yesterday. So July 14th is an episode called For the Girls Who Feel Lonely in Their Growth Era. And so
that's good. I love your title.
You're like taking notes, like, for the girls who feel lonely in their growth era. And that one is essentially saying kind of what you just said, where it's like, you may be growing on this path, but that doesn't mean you're growing together. And like, you might grow apart.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you could be cordial. You don't need to, you know, be mean or anything. Just distance yourself if you feel like it's sucking your energy.
Yeah. And I also like, I don't know about you, but I also feel like it's kind of normal. Like, listen, I do have great friendships, but like, we don't even see each other. We like text. I'm like, see my friends. Like,
when you see them, it's like nothing ever happened.
Right. Like, nothing ever changed. Yeah. 100%.
And so I do have friendships like that. And those are great.
Yeah. It's like, I have great friendships, but like, do we make the time to hang out every weekend? Absolutely not. No. You know? So,
well, that's a big thing too. It's hard to find time.
Yeah.
To me, especially in your 30s.
Yeah.
Like there's, cause so-and-so has kids and I get that being a mom is super hard.
Yeah.
So I totally understand. So it's hard to meet with your friends.
Yeah.
But I will say, and I recently moved in with my boyfriend and we're in an apartment complex. I have made more friends in this apartment complex than I have like in all my life.
I love that. I love that.
And everyone is just so friendly here. And
it probably feels like a college dorm. Like you get to like meet all the people. It does.
And who knows? Like the girl across the way, she knows everyone's business on the fourth floor. I'm like, who is this woman? And she's like in her 40s, but love her. And my other friend comes over. I'm like, I feel like I'm on Seinfeld and like Kramer's coming down the door, like knocking on my door. And I met someone the other day. So for advice for the girl that emailed you, I don't know if she's an apartment building, but go outside, go for a walk, meet someone.
Yeah.
Like I went for a walk with my dog the other day. It helps too if you have a dog, but
yeah, go to the dog park. There's tons of people there.
Oh, exactly. Dog park. That's where you meet friends. I was walking my dog, German Shepherd, Luna, love her. And, I met another girl who just got a puppy and she was like, oh, we should go to the dog park together. And then I came up and she actually had a post-it on my door because I told her where I lived and she was like, oh, I'm right there. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. Like, because now we're trying to get together and have like a wine night or something. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I made a friend in my 30s.
Yeah. No, you feel that. Yeah. I love that. And it's honestly also just like a byproduct of your environment. So like if you are surrounding yourself with these same people that like you're not even into anymore, like you're not gonna get anywhere. You're not gonna make new friendships. So like, yeah, I sit here and I'm like, I barely even see my friends, but I'm also a hermit. I like don't even leave my house. So it's like you're living in an apartment complex. Like put yourself out there, you know, go exactly. Meet your neighbors, go to the common areas, whatever that may be, whether it's the cafe, the dog park, anything. Like I used to live in apartment buildings like that too. And I didn't even think about that. I met so many people.
Yeah. And
so naturally too.
It was, and that's the thing, it came natural. And I think too, because I do have a dog, it got me out walking.
Yeah.
Whereas like, if I didn't, I'd just stay in my house and watch TV instead of, so that's the thing. If I don't know if this girl has a dog or not, but if she does, go out, meet people. If not, that's totally fine. Go for a walk.
Yeah. You know? Just become a part of a community, whether it's a gym community, pick up a hobby, like go do something.
A book club is good. I feel like there's a lot of women in book clubs.
Yeah. It's just like anything. Like just like, honestly, I don't know like what, obviously I don't know what city this girl lives in, but like when in the past I lived in Hoboken, New Jersey. I lived in Miami. I lived in Tampa. And when I lived in these places, I was always in Facebook groups that have like Hoboken had this like group, Facebook group that was called like Girls Who Walk. And it was like, or something like that.
Really?
Like Hot Girl Walks or something like that.
Oh yeah. I used to live in Jersey City. I wonder if we were there at the same time.
It was probably the same group. And it was, there was like 22,000 people in the group. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like,
oh, wow.
And they were like meeting up on Sundays, going on these walks and like, just like so much opportunity. And there would be like messages on the page that were like, is anyone going on Sunday? I'm going alone. Like, is there someone I can meet up with?
Oh, that's so fun.
You know, like get in your Facebook groups in your cities, in your towns, like find what's local, whether it is a walking or a book club or a hobby. Another thing, like when I lived in Hoboken, the girls who lived upstairs from me, they were in a, I think it was like, they played like bar games. I don't know if it was like, cornhole?
Cornhole. Yeah,
like they were in these like leagues of like cornhole.
Tournaments.
Yeah, like shit like that. Like they were, I don't know. I don't know how they found it. But they used to like all go out together on like a Tuesday night.
Oh, that's these tournaments.
Keep in mind on Tuesdays, I used to go to pottery. Like we just like, we were, Hoboken is the type of place where there's just like so much going on. So like, we were always like very involved in like whatever's happening in the community. So I feel like my first thing is like, stop putting the pressure on yourself to like, you know, for other people. It's like, live your life, do your thing, take care of you. And like, that's that. But then at the same time, it's also like, put yourself out there to meet new people. You don't have to keep talking to these friends. If you're in a group chat, leave the group chat. If it's just a matter of history that you've had with them and it's just, we've known each other forever. Like, okay, cool. Keep in touch. Happy birthday. Like, congrats on the daughter, like whatever the case is. Like, you know, you don't have to maintain the friendship. And then the next step, I feel like once you like heal and feel better, then the next step is like, put yourself out there, get yourself like readily available to meet new people. Like, I also don't think you should like go into new friendships with just the mindset of like, I'm just getting out of this friendship, so I need a new one. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's like, just almost like a romantic relationship.
Yeah. It's just like, be yourself and just like be who you want to be. And like, I feel like surround yourself with the community you want to surround yourself with. And then like the right people will find you.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for doing that with
thank
me.
You.
And thank you for being here on the show. Is there anything you want to share with the girls before you go?
No, I had so much fun. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. Where can everybody find you and connect with you online?
So I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Amanda_Carluccio. It's CARLUCCIO.
Yeah, we don't have that many Italians around here. So I don't really know how to spell it. They'd be like CHEO.
Everyone forgets the O. Carluccio.
Yeah.
And my podcast is Unapologetically Myself, and it's on Spotify. You can watch it on YouTube, and it's also on Apple Podcasts.
And it may soon be rebranded, so stay tuned.
Exactly. It may be something different, but we're not sure yet. We're going to keep it for now.
Yeah. No, this was amazing. Thank you so much for being here and
connecting. No, thanks for having me.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.